Lamed Gimel Amr Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom. 9 lines from the bottom. Okay, we started a discussion whether it's the Edim who are denying that they know the Edus and swearing falsely on it, if the subject was a matter of Knas, would they be Chayav apart? Not so much we have two opinions, but we had two different angles on it. One is, do we say a point that, like the laws of Shimon says in Bava Kama, that if the person, even if the person were to be Moida to the Knas, which makes him Potter, if afterwards Edim show up and say that he is Chayav, then he will be Chayav. In that case, of course the Edim should be Chayav, because regardless whether he was Moida or not, they could have come, testified, and then made it that he had to pay, regardless whether they came before or after he was Moida. So the question would have to be within the Rabbanon. And then, assuming that the Rabbanon holds, the Rabbanon over there in Bava Kama and that Macholkes holds the same as the Rabbanon over here against Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, that you need something that directly brings to Mammon rather than govern HaGdorim the Mammon, rather than something that indirectly brings to a case of Mammon, then you have the question. On the one hand, he could have been Moida and he would have been Potter, so then there's no Mammon involved, because even if they show up after he's Moida, there's still no payment. Or, on the other hand, the fact is, at the time that he beswore them, the other guy, the Mazik, hadn't been murdered yet. So then if they had come at that point, if instead of denying, we don't know the ages, if instead they had come to Basin and testified, they would have caused that moment would change hands.
Because they didn't know.
No, because they claimed at the time, so the Nizek comes to these Edim and says, come testify for me in Basin. They say, we don't know, and they swear to that effect. But if they had come at that time, we don't know the Edus. That's the whole point of our test, right? But if they had come at that point, if instead of saying, we don't know the Edus, we swear to that effect, if instead they had come to Beis Din and said, we testify that Reuven's ox gored Shimon's ox, or whatever it is, then Reuven would have to pay. Because Reuven had not yet at that point come to Beis Din and been murdered. On the other hand, you have Reuven could at any time come to Beis Din and be Moida, so not necessarily is their Edus going to cause an exchange of money, because Reuven could run into Beis Din and be Moida before they show up. Okay, so that was the question.
Well, that's
not schlug it up, that's the question. We have the question, do we say that if the Edim, or that if the Edim were in something of Knas, are they Chai of a Korban Shavua or not? That is the question. So we started... We said we have two different ways of looking at it. We said maybe not. That's what we said. That's what he said. So we started discussing, okay, our Mishnah mentioned a number of cases. One of them was where he tells them, I want you to come and give edus about chatzi nezek. And chatzi nezek, we said, is a knas. So we said there's two different opinions. It's mammon or it's knas. We said according to the opinion that it's knas, we would have to say that the chatzi nezek of our Mishnah is chatzi nezek tzroros, the case where an animal kicks up pebbles and those pebbles strike something. And
chatzi nezek is only when he's moide, or there's other reasons?
Chatzi nezek is when the ox gores the first two or three times before it becomes a moor.
Right.
That's the usual case of chatzi nezek. We have a machloikas elsewhere in the Gemara whether that payment of chatzi nezek is momon or knas. Is it fundamentally he should have to pay the whole thing, but the Torah has rachmanus on him and then downgrades it to half, then it's momon, just like anything else that you pay for damages. Or is it that fundamentally you shouldn't have to pay anything at all, because how is he supposed to know his ox is dangerous? The Torah penalizes him by making, even though, yeah, but then the Torah penalizes him by making him pay half, so he'll know to be more careful in the future.
I could be both. Then it makes
it's one or the other. It's either Mammon or Knas. If it's Mammon, it's Mammon. If it's Knas, it's Knas. So if we assume that it's Mammon, then fine, our Mishnah is telling about Mammon. If it's talking about Knas, we would have to say that then maybe the Mishnah is not talking about that. And the Torah Chaim points out the reason why. So why does the Gemara say straightforward? Okay, the answer is the Mishnah is talking about Knas finished. We can learn from that yes, it would apply to Edom of Knas. The reason we don't want to do that is we're actually going to have a machlokas of the Tanoim later on it. We're going to have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva in particular that they don't. And the Halakha is like it, that they don't have, that they're not Chai of a Korban in that case where it was Knas, where the matter was Knas. And therefore, and we want to try and make the Mishnah work according to the Halakha. So if the Mishnah had mentioned cases that are unambiguously knas, like, for example, the case where the ox gored an eved, where you have to pay 30 tzloyim, which is an example of a knas, then we'd have no choice but to say the Mishnah is talking about knas. Since, as we're going to see, all of the examples the Mishnah is giving are equivocal. They can be talking about knas, but they can also be talking about something that's not knas. We'd prefer to assume, in the end, that the Mishnah is not necessarily talking about knas in order not to make the Mishnah go against the established halakha. Okay. So anyway, so we answered then the chatzi nezek of our Mishnah can be chatzi nezek tzuros, which is unlike every other chatzi nezek, is not knas, it's definitely mammon. Okay, so that's where we're holding.
Considered like
Because it's a halakha l'moshe misinai. It's a halakha l'moshe misinai that in the case of tzerodis, you only pay half damages, but it's not snap. It's not that you're being penalized. It's just mom. You're obligated to pay, but the tzerodis reduces the payment. The halakha. So that's what I mean. The animal kicked up pebbles, and the pebbles went and hit something. Okay. Tashma. Okay, well, let's see. The next thing our Mishnah mentioned is the case. The guy says to Adam, come testify for me that this guy owes me a slumikethel, or a knapsi. See that it applies to knapsi. The answer is no. Mishnah Karna, no, you could say that what he's doing is basically telling them, come say Adam on my behalf, because the guy is going to have to pay. I want you to testify that he owes me the double amount. But the double amount also includes the single amount, which is money. He stole from me 100. I want you to come to Basin and testify that he'll have to pay 200. Out of that 200,
100 of it is mammon. It's the actual amount he stole, and 100 is knas. Once he's telling them, come testify for the mammon, sure, testify, and I'll be able to collect the knas from him as well. But fundamentally, he's not coming to ask them to be made only for the knas, but rather for mammon as well.
And therefore,
we can say that the Mishnah is focusing not on the knas side of it, but on the mammon side of it. So therefore, the mammon side, there's no question. Okay, what about the Shlomo Dalabay?
What about the case where he says, come testify that the guy not only stole my animal, but sold it, which makes him chayav for a 4 or 5-fold payment, which is also a knas. And again, the answer is, you come kind of, again, but within that includes the keren. Okay. What about Sha'onas Ish Poini Yopita? The Mishnah continues that he says to Adam, come testify for me that Poini rapes my daughter or seduced her, which in both of those cases, there is a knas. The answer is, okay, so Mishum worship is down. Yes, but on the other hand, you also have Mammon in those cases, because besides that the Torah mandates a knas in both those cases, 50 for Pituri and 50 for each one, for Pituri and 50 slot. The difference is that by Pituri, instead, he has the option to marry her and write her a suga, as opposed to by Ernest, he has to give her the payment as well as he's obligated to marry her. But anyway. So those are a knas, but on the other hand, you also have boishes of gam, the embarrassment that she suffered for which she had to be paid, and gam, the blemish that now she's not a psora, that is, she's worth less on the marriage market, basically, and therefore those are mammon. Okay, so the question is, my kamas malam? So in that case, if you're going to explain all these cases of the Mishnah that way, then what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? Call them a minor. Well, in all the cases mentioned in the Mishnah are all cases of mammon. Obviously, edim achayv a korban if they refuse to testify on something involving mammon. The answer is no. Reisha Chodra Kamashmalam, Sefer Chodra Kamashmalam. No, but the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah are each teaching us the Reisha when it lists all these different things that on the face of them are snap, and the Sefer when it mentions a few cases involving somebody who did something on your kipper, each of those has a fiddish. Reisha Chodra Kamashmalam, the Reisha is telling us a fiddish to Hati Nezek Tzuris Mamonu. That when it mentions Hati Nezek, that you should know that means the case where the animal picks up pebbles, which is mine, so that our Mishnah wants to inform us of that fact, that it is mine. And once it mentioned that, then it mentioned various other cases of mammon as well.
What's the
chiddush is, if once the Mishnah mentioned Chatzi Nezek, then it also mentions other kinds of cases where you pay something, where you're not paying the exact value of what you get. Once it mentioned one, it mentioned other similar ones. The difference is, it is true, Chatzi Nezek is tzuroris in and of itself is mammon. Hashlomei Kefal and Hashlomei Abav HaMisha in and of themselves are not mammon, they are not. However, they include a mammon component. But the main thing is, the main one that I wanted to mention is Chatzi Nezek for us to understand that it refers to tzuroris, not Chatzi Nezek as in the animal gore, which would be a knas. So that's the chiddush of that part. And Sefer, Father Kamash Malam, and the Sefer is also teaching us a chiddush that when it says v'shehidlakas dishi b'yemekakorim, you have the case where he says that Pliny hit me or burnt down my pile of grain on Yom Kippur. What's the chiddush in that? And we're saying that there's an edim achayev korban if they falsely denied. No, the edim on that, the chiddush of that is v'apukimai. What does it come to exclude? It comes to tell us that we do not hold like the Nechunya ben Hakam.
That Rav Nachman ben Hakana held that Yom Kippur is like Shabbos when it comes to payment. Ma Shabbos.
We don't hold like
them.
So he says like this. We know that when it comes to Shabbos, if a person does a malacha on Shabbos, if a person does a hezek on Shabbos that involves the malacha, come with the didavine, he's executing chayav mitzvah for doing the malacha on Shabbos, therefore he's part of the money. Everybody agrees with that. The Nachman then Hatana says the same thing applies also for someone that's only Chayiv Karis, which is, for example, Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Mechulim and Hatana would say that if he broke down a pile of grain, the possible from payment because come with it out of there, because the Karis takes the place instead of rest. The Chachamim disagree with that. The Halacha is like the Chachamim. The Omishna wants to inform us of that fact. Don't think like in Mechulim and Hatana that if you're telling the Avian, come say Avis that this guy burnt down my grain on Yom Kippur, that they can say, if they deny it, they shouldn't be Chayav Karban because there's not going to be any payment. He's going to be getting Karban instead. No, there's no payment to be distributed. No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Karban is out of picture when it comes to come with it. Only Mississippi. Okay. Toshma. Mashbiya ani aleichah. Okay, let's prove from a braisa that says, I am making you swear. I'm putting you under a shavua. Imloy tavoyu v'toyduni. If you do not come and testify on my behalf, shahoiti ish pliny shemra al biti. That pliny was moti shemra on my daughter. Where we learned from Kesubah, the whole scenario over there, where the husband claims that his wife is mizana doing that sometimes in the sin, which if true, she be chayim mitza. And if not, if it turns out that it's false, then he gets malchus and in addition has to pay a fine of 100 sloim.
Did it ever happen?
I don't know. History records a case of it happening, but you had millions of Jews living for a period of 1,500 years when there were functioning Sanhedrins and when there were dinner fascists. Yeah, it probably happened at least at some point. Anyway, so Rashi explains what happens is over here. So what is the father asking the Edom to give Edus on? This happened in a different base. Maybe they found my son-in-law guilty of defaming my daughter, claiming that she was Mizana, and they sentenced him to the Malchus and 100 sloim. I did not have the chance to get the 100 sloim from him. Now I want you to come and testify in base that he actually owes that 100 sloim so that I can collect it, or my daughter can collect it, whatever. Then we say chayavim.
Then we say they are chayav, and if they refuse, yeah.
On the other hand, hoidum epiatme potter. On the other hand, the braisa says if the husband were to go and admit in another beis din, if he were to admit in another beis din that he had in fact done that and he's high of 100, then he would be potter because moidu b'knas. Now this is clearly a knas. The 100 sloim is definitely a knas. There's no moment component of it, and we're saying chayavim. So obviously, therefore, you have to
even
say that
class,
even in a knas they'd be high. Yeah. The answer is no. Hamani Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, he no, because this braisa can be going according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, who da'amar yavoyu edim v'yaidu, which as we learned before, he says that even if the edim show up after he's moida, he's still going to have to pay. Very well, his hadah makes no difference. Even he's moida, but nevertheless, edim later can come and they'll be machai of him. And in this case, if they refuse, then they're preventing mammon from happening.
Why would he take a stand on it if he's moida already before the edim came?
That's what Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon holds, that the pitur for knas, for moedah b'knas, is only if Edom never show up. If Edom ever do show up, then he says that nevertheless they can be mechayev him.
Even if he
had previously come up. Okay, so the question is, Ema Sefer Hoedah me'asmei Potter. Fine, but if you're going to understand it that way, look at the next part. The mission of the Braisa, rather, had continued that if he admits on his own that he's Potter, Asa on the Rabbanon. That goes according to the Rabbanon, because according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't follow. Even if he's moedah, he can be chayev if Edom show up afterwards. So what are you going to have? A braisa that one half of it is according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, and the next line is according to the Rabbanon. You don't usually have that. Yeah. The answer is no. Kula Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. No. The answer is you can explain the whole braisa as going according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. But hakakama, what the braisa means is loy mashkachas lahoidim if he asked me the potter. The only way in which you can find that if he admits on his own is potter, that he's potter. Only if no Edom ever show up on at all, and all that the only way we know it happened is he admits it and bases it. Then he will be part of that.
If Edom
never show up and he is moida on his own, that's the only case he's part of. So therefore, in effect, what this part of the braisa is doing, therefore, is kind of giving an explanation to the previous part. Why is it that the Edom are going to be chayev in a case like this? Because as long as we only have his hajar, he's potter. Were the Edom to show up, he would be chayev. But as long as all we have is his hajar, he's potter. Therefore, the Edom not showing up, the Edom refusing to testify, causes that moment isn't changing hands. And therefore, it's machayev then. Therefore, they're chayev according then. Okay.
He could have deduced that.
No, well, okay, the braisa didn't have to spell it out, it's true, but we can still understand the braisa that way, and therefore it's not, therefore we can still say it goes all according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Still doesn't mean that according to the Chachamim, we should necessarily say that Edom on Knas should be Chayav the Korban, the halacha in the end is there not. The halacha in the end, well, we discussed. We didn't come to a conclusion one way or the other. We just said we don't have a proof one way or the other. The halacha in the end, we're going to have again, we're going to have later on, we're going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about that point, and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. We don't hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon in either one of the statements that he made. Not that if he admits and later on the Edom come that he'll be potter, that he'll be chayev rather. The Chacham hold he'll be potter in that case, and not what he said before about Dovah Agor Lamamon. So yeah, then in that case, we have the two sides of our question. In the end, the halacha is according to one side of it that indeed they'd be potter. Okay.
Mishnah says,
Mashviya ani aleichem, if a person says to the Edim, I am beswearing you, imloy tavoy v'cha'idur shani koyin, if you don't come and testify that I am a koyin. So for example, you have people that are arguing that his mother was a grusha or a chalotza or whatever, so I want you to come testify on my behalf that I'm a koyin. Shani levi.
Shani levi,
where there's people arguing to the contrary. He has at this point no chazaka. And nobody knows that he's a Kohen or a Levi or whatever. So he's asking Adam to come testify in Beis Din that he's a Kohen so that he can start exercising the privileges of a Kohen. Yeah. Shani Levi.
That time was Truma.
Yes, I would be able to have Truma. Yeah. Shani Levi, or that I'm a Levi. Levi, that'll get nicer. She'eni ben Grusha, She'eni ben Chalotza, or on the contrary, I want you to come and testify. There are people arguing that my mother was a Grusha or a Chalotza. I want you to come testify to the contrary. Or she ish plenty koyin, she ish plenty levi, or I want you to testify on behalf of somebody else that I know is a koyin or is a levi. Or she ain't ben grusha, she ain't ben chalotza, or that he's not a ben grusha or ben chalotza. Or she onas ish plenty et bitoy or pita et bitoy, or I want you to come and testify that plenty raped or seduced his daughter. Now, what do we mean by his? Rashi says two explanations. Rashi's preferred explanation, he says, is that we're talking about that Levi is asking the Edim, I want you to come and testify in Beis Din that Reuven raped Shimon's daughter, and therefore that he's obligated to pay the knas and the various other penalties to Shimon, or to Shimon. So in other words, it's something relating to a third party, similar to what we had is where we said that I want you to testify that Pliny is a Kohen or Pliny is a Levi or not a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza would be the same thing. I, Levi, am asking you to come testify that Reuven is a Kohen or is a Levi.
On behalf of a third party.
Rashi then mentions that some people want to explain, Rashi says, that we're talking about that I want you to come and testify that Reuven raped or seduced his own daughter. And then why would it be that they're potter? Because there's no money involved. He's chayiv mitzvah for that, as we learned in Sanhedrin. However, Rashi says that in that case, it's just two different ways of understanding the Mishnah. But Rashi doesn't like that second explanation because he says it's perfectly true, kom libe d'rabbi minei. But on the other hand, and if not for kom libe d'rabbi minei, anyway, when the various monies that are paid to the daughter for the rape or for the seduction, anyway, go to her father. So if her father himself is the one who did it, that's the question. In other words, if there's no money in this case anyway, because kam libe d'rabbi minei, because he's chayiv mitzvah. But even were it not for that, who's bringing him to Beis Din in the first place anyway? The money would go straight to him anyway. So Tosfos talks about, and the Rambam talks about in a different vein, that you can have cases. Tosfos talks about you can have a case, let's say, where she'd previously been married and divorced. And now she's what's called in halacha. We learned about this in Yevamos. She's called Yisoyma b'chaye Avia. Even though her father is physically still alive, she's considered like an orphan. She's fully on her own. She's not under her father's reshus anymore. So in that case, then conceivably you could have that the father would have to pay her, were it not from the Rabbanei. The Rambam says somewhat similarly. She could have been an arusa. Whatever. So
different
cases. But still, Rashi doesn't like that. Rashi prefers the explanation that we're talking about, that Levi is saying, I want you to come and testify that Reuven raped Shimon's daughter, and therefore that Reuven owes Shimon that money. Okay. Or that my son hit me in a way that he caused a wound, where then he's chayiv mitzvah. Again, kam libe d'rabbi minei. V'shechava b'chaveri shehid l'kedishi b'shabbos. Or that Pliny hit me or burnt down my pile of grain on Shabbos. Harel of Turin, in all these cases, the Edom are potter if they denied it, because either the first few cases, the case of a Koyan or not Ben Grusha or Ben Chalotza or whatever, there's no money involved. The second set of cases, because the third party...
There's no money, he's going to lose his...
So Mephoshim asked about, what about the fact that now he can't get Truma, etc.? Fine, but not necessarily, just because you're a Kohen doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get Truma anyway. A Yisrael can give to you, a Levi for that matter, can give Truma and Truma's Meiser to whoever they want. You're a Kohen, you're now in line to be able to get it, true, but it still doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be getting it.
That's why.
So therefore, you can't call it that there's necessarily Mammon involved, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the first set of cases. The second set of cases is because it doesn't involve him directly.
Right.
And the third set of, or at least according to Rashi's explanation of Sha'anas each point is Bito or Pite is Bito, there is money that has to be done, but it has nothing to do with Levi, who asked them to come testify. It's Reuben and Shimon, between Reuben and Shimon. And the third set of cases is the case where my son hit me, or the guy burnt down my grain on Shabbos. It's Kom Levi Dinavim,
yeah,
because it's Chaim Mitzah, therefore there's no payment. So therefore there's no Mammon. So these are various cases where there's no Mammon, and therefore the Edom are Potter.
Right.
So here's where, in the Gemara, we're going to establish, but after we get through some other stuff explaining what's going on in the Mishnah, after that we're going to get into the question, which is going to take up most of the rest of the sugya. Where indeed do we get the concept, this that we've been talking about throughout the whole perek, that it has to be that what you ask the Edom to testify on is something involving Mammon? Where indeed do we get that from? So that's what we're going to have. We're going to start talking about that.
What happened here? He asked his people to come and do this. He was mashbiah these people, and what, they didn't come? And
so one of two possibilities, as we discussed earlier in the parak. Either he was mashbiah them, and they said, we don't know, or they themselves volunteered, we swear that we don't know the sages. Either way, when it turns out that they're lying, then they have to bring a carbon.
How's it turn out? Other Edom come and say, or they're motivated by...
Doesn't matter. I mean, if other Edom come later, then fine. But these Edom at the time, these were the only Edom available, and therefore that's what we discussed before. When you had two sets of Edom, and what if you had set, yeah.
They caused them a loss by not giving the Edom. So.
Right. It has to be, by the way, it's not necessarily they caused them a loss per se. It can also be that they caused that he, were it not for that, if they were to come and testify, he would have lost, and like this now, he ends up keeping what he has. Yeah, as long as there's something involving where Mammon is involved, where it's potentially involved, either changing hands or not changing hands. Is the case.
You know, there's no certainty that it's going to happen this way.
Yeah, but there should be a reason. So there has to be a good likelihood. We said it can't be good in the Mammon. That was only a commentary of Elizabeth Shimon. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Taima de'ish pleni koyin de'ish pleni levi. So what are we saying? Why are we saying in the middle part of the Mishnah that the Edom are potter, if the scenario was that Levi says to them, I want you to testify that pleni is a koyin or pleni is a levi, etc.? The implication, though, would seem to be that if he's saying, I want you, Edom, to swear, I want you to come and testify that Reuven owes Shimon money, it sounds like chayavim. It sounds like they would be chayav in that case. Because what are we saying? Why are we saying that the matter of a Kohen or a Levi? Because for the same reason when he says, I myself am a Kohen or a Levi, there's no Mammon necessarily involved. Because again, just because you're a Kohen doesn't mean it. Because not necessarily are you going to be getting Truma, etc.
Right. So what's the difference whether we start a Kohen or not?
Okay, so one second. The Mishnah is saying that if you're telling the Edom, come testify that Reuven is a Kohen, and they refuse to, they're potter. But the implication sounds like, if you're saying to the Edom, but come and testify that Reuven actually owes Shimon money, that money is going to change hands, it sounds like they'd be higher. The question with that is, Hakatani Seifa Ad Shishmo V'Yatevea. What we learn in the next Mishnah, later on Lamed Hei, that they're only chayav for the korban if they heard the request or the shvua from the plaintiff, from the one who's actually claiming the money. In other words, so it wouldn't matter if Levi tells them, I want you to testify that Reuven is a kohen, or if Levi tells them, I want you to testify that Reuven owes Shimon money. Either way, they would be potter from the korban if they falsely denied it, because Levi has no interest over here. So why is the Mishnah only mentioning the case where he says, come testify that Reuven is a kohen, rather than saying more straightforwardly, come testify for the case where Reuven owes Shimon money?
Why are we bringing this
The Mishnah implied that if Levi says to them, come testify that Reuven is a Kohen,
right,
then they're potter if they deny it falsely, because testifying that somebody is a Kohen doesn't necessarily have monetary implications.
Right.
But it sounds like the implication of the Mishnah would be that if he says, come testify that Reuven owes Shimon money, or that Reuven doesn't owe Shimon money, it sounds like they would in fact be chayav if they denied it, because there's money involved. But the problem with that is, we learn in the next Mishnah that you're only chayav if Reuven himself, who is claiming the money, comes and tells them to testify, not if Levi, a third party who has no business with it. So why is the Mishnah phrasing it the way it is?
Another person can't be designed with somebody else.
So that's what we're going to deal with. So Shmuel answers, the case we're talking about over here in our Mishnah is that Levi has a hashal. Levi has a power of attorney that Reuven put him in charge of this. Therefore, in fact, if he tells them, I want you to swear that Reuven owes Shimon this money, I want you to testify, rather, that Reuven owes Shimon this money, on the basis of that hashah, they would, in fact, be chayiv if they falsely deny it. If there's hashah, the next Mishnah is talking about where there's none. The problem with that is, v'ha'amri nahadoi l'kasvin an urchsa metalteli. Yes, but the Chachamim of Nahada said that you do not write an urchsa, which means a hashah, a power of attorney, for metalpolin. You can't say, in other words, so I claim, for example, that I Reuven claim that Shimon owes me money, and I want to give a hashah to you, Levi, to deal with it on my behalf. You don't do that on metalpolin. Now, why is that?
Right.
The Gemara in Baba Kama.
Even if you appointed him for the
one second. So the main place where we talk about this is in Baba Kama. So we learned it a while back. Rashi over here explains the reason is because metalpolin are not something that are necessarily visible. Metalpolin are something that can be hidden, unlike karka, for example. So therefore, you can't have Adam testifying that I, Reuven, have such and such, that Shimon has in his possession such and such, which he owes me, because how do we know Shimon has it? So therefore, you can't write a hashah on metalpolin. The Rambam gives a different reason, which is
because you may not know it,
and it may not necessarily be correct. Right. The Rambam gives a different reason based on what the Gemara is going to say over here. That there's a difference whether Shimon denies the claim or not. If we're talking about that Shimon has already denied the claim, how can you have Adim write in a shtar? I'm giving you, Levi, power of attorney to collect what Shimon owes me when Shimon is denying that he owes anything. It looks like a falsehood. So therefore, you don't do that. Now we've talked a number of times
maybe
before.
Denying, but they can still.
You can't write something like that where it's not completely clear that it's true. So now, eventually, we talked about that the early Gaonim made a takana that you're able to collect most kinds of debts from the Talfalin, not just from Karka. So once that happened, then yeah, this din changes a little bit. But we're talking about the original din, up till and including the time of the Gemara, that it only works for Karka. So therefore, how are you having a case, therefore, where Levi is telling the Edim using his power of attorney, come testify that Reuven is owed money by Shimon, when you don't write a power of attorney for such a thing in the first place? The answer is, Hanimi Lehecha de Kafri, yes, but when are we saying that you don't write a Harshah for that? That's when Shimon already denied it. So therefore, again, it would look like a falsehood to say that Reuven is owed money by Shimon when we don't know if Shimon in fact owes that. You have to hear it from the interest party himself. It's talking about when there's no hashah. Tosfos, by the way, gets into, and a number of other Rishonim also get into details over here. There's more. Our Gemara is just getting briefly into this whole thing. It's not really in Baba Kama is the main place where the Gemara talks about all these rules, when you write a hashah, when you don't. There's more details than we're dealing with over here in the Gemara. So here the Gemara is just keeping it brief because it's not really the main point that we're after. But so there are, in fact, more complicated rules about when you write a hashah and when you don't. And again, after the Takanas Agonim, it becomes even more complicated. By the way, different Meforishim also talk about the question that later on we're going to say that it doesn't work if you just send a Shliach, it has to be you yourself. Isn't the Morsha basically another form of Shliach? And one distinction that they make is the difference is when you give somebody a Harshah, effectively what you're doing is you're transferring the money to him. When he goes and takes the guy to Beis Din, he himself is going to be collecting it for himself, and then maybe afterwards you have some other side agreement or whatever that you and he are going to split it or whatever. Whereas the shliach that we're going to talk about later is one who has no financial stake in it. No, but that's the thing. Shliach shalom kamei. Shluch shalom kamei. Say in some things, but not in everything. You can't make a shliach for somebody to put on film for you, for example. Yeah. So there are certain things. There are certain things you can appoint a shliach for, but not in a shul.
Not
a shul. Okay. All right. Turn it up on. How do we know that when the Pasuk is talking about this whole concept of Shmuas Eidus, that the Eidim should be chayav a korban if they falsely deny that they don't know the Eidus? How do we know, this is the central question, how do we know it only applies to a case of a claim of money? So we have a few different ways of learning it. Rabbi Eliezer, like this. Nema kan oyin v'nema lahalan oyin. By the Pasuk, where it talks about Shavuos Eidos, you have a number of times that it repeats in the Pasuk the word oy. V'hu eid oy ra'a oy yoda. He's an aid, or he saw, or he knew.
And a question.
So, one second. Oyin is the plural of the word oy. So you have twice over here the word oy. V'nema lahalan oyin. Then you have, later on in the Parsha, and towards the end of Parsha's Vayikra, it mentions the case of Shavuos HaPikadon, which we're going to learn about in the next parak, the case where the owner of the object comes to the Shomer and says, give me back my thing, and the Shomer claims that it was lost or stolen or onus or what have you, and the Pasuk and falsely denies it. And the Pasuk there also uses multiple times the word oy. Oy b'pikadon, oy b'sumas yad, oy b'gazal, oy oshak efamitoy. So you have, in both these places, you have a bunch of oys. Therefore, we make a gzeder shava, therefore. Just like when it comes to the pikadon or the aveda or whatever, it's talking about a claim of money, because those are the four cases that the Torah is talking about over there. He's claiming a pikadon that he deposited with him. He's claiming the repayment of a debt. He's claiming that the repayment of a theft. Or he's claiming he's claiming a lost object which you found and you need to return to me. So just like over there, it's talking about a claim of money. Afkan ani medaber ela b'tviyas mamon.
Are we talking about the same money only?
No, well, that's what we're saying. Therefore, the whole concept of Shavuos Eidos only applies if what you're asking the Eidim to testify on is something involving money. Therefore, for example, not if I'm a Kohen or a Levi or what have you, because that doesn't necessarily have monetary implications.
Indirectly, but not directly.
Indirectly is not direct enough. Yeah. What were you going to say, Arthur?
Or Osher.
Right. Oshak Esamistai. Right. Aveda is in the next passage. Oshak Esamistai, or you have, he's withholding something that he owes you, like wages for work or whatever. The point is, all of those are different kinds of Tzvias Mamanim. Okay. The question is, but if you're going to learn by Exeter Shavar from these repeated words, oy, why don't you instead learn from the oys that are mentioned in connection with Eretzeach? And here, by the way, the Meiri points out a concept that we've talked about a number of times before. The Chachamim many times had the Kabbalah, ultimately going back to Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, the words that are supposed to be used for Gzeira Shavah, but not necessarily which set of words. So they knew, for example, the Gzeira Shavah over the multiple times Oy. But is it meant to be between the Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, or is it meant to be between Shavuos Eidos and something else, such as Ritzeach? That's why the Gemara has to go through these various possibilities. Right. So why don't we learn it from the case of Ritzeach, where you also have a bunch of oys over there. Oy hish l'cholov. Yes. Oy hish l'cholov. Oy ve'eva. So also you have twice over there oy. At Shehen oyin, you have a bunch of oys. Umadab and shalob b'tvias mamon. And there you don't have any mamon involved. So say that it would be the same thing. You want to be swear the edim. Come testify that Pliny killed Pliny, for example. The answer is no. Donin oyin sheyesh iman shvua. Because we have another point we have to consider. The multiple oys by Shavuos Eidos involves a shvua, because we're saying b'shama kol olav, they've heard the sound of a shvua, and the one by Pikadon also refers to a shvua. The nishval shaker, the pasuk says in the next pasuk over there, that he swears false, as opposed to v'al yichichu oyin d'ritzeach she'eni man shvua. Don't try to prove it from ritzeach where there's no shvua involved.
How do we know that there's shvua?
Where would there be a shvua involved with Eretzeach? Again, you don't have, I mentioned yesterday what the Rambam says, that we don't do like in Goyish court where the Eidim are put under oath. The Eidim just come and testify. So there's no shvua involved in the case of Eretzeach. The Eidim come and testify, based and deliberate on the thing. Either they find him guilty or they find him innocent. There's no shvua involved.
There's
chakir or jusha, fine, but there's no shvua.
By the way, since you're talking about this, when you're asked to testify, can you testify by swearing or by affirming?
You're talking about in a Goyish court. I think that often what frum people do is they affirm rather than swearing. I'm not sure about that, though.
Is there a
difference in halacha? I really have no idea. Okay.
Well, fine. What about disclosing?
Well, fine. What about we can prove from cases where you have multiple oys by the Sota, oy over all of Ruach Kina,
So you have twice oi over there in that section involving a soita, and there is a shvur. Shehen oyin v'yeshimon shvur umadav shalayv tibias mammon. And there's no monetary claim over there. It is true, Tosfos points out, that a side effect of if she turns out to be a soita is mammon, but it's not the main thing, right? She does end up losing a ksuba if she's guilty, right? But it's not the primary thing, right? So the answer is donin oyin sheyashimon shvur ve'eni mohen koyin. Yes, but you have like this: the oys, when it comes to shvur se'edus, there is a shvur, but there's no koyin involved. There's no koyin involved in shvur se'edus. There's a koyin later on when they bring the korban, but not in the shvur itself. So there is a koyin. Yeah, me oyin sheyashimon shvur ve'eni mohen koyin. Learn it from the oys by shvur satikad. Then where again there's a shvur and there's no koyin. The al yechichu oyin der etzeach she'eni mohen shvur. Don't try to prove it from a etzeach where there's no shvur. The al yechichu oyin de soita, and don't try to prove it from the soita. Don't try to make the zeder shava from the soita. She'achal pishi yeshi mohen shvur, yeshi mohen koyin. It is true that there's a shvur, but there's also a koyin, so that's a separate kind of thing.
And it's not the same.
So it's not the same. Okay, so that's it. Therefore, by elimination, the only thing it has to be that we learn from shvur satikadin, and in that case, that we get that it's mocked. Fine. That's one way of doing it. That's how Rabbi Eliezer does it. Rabbi Akiva says, I have a different way of learning it. The pasuk says, after it talks about the various cases where you chay, where the various cases of shavuos and tumas mikdash v'kodesh or whatever, what happens that he has to bring his korban? V'hoya ki yesham la'achat me'ela. The pasuk says, when he's guilty of one of these, the word of, ki yesham, when he is guilty, la'achat me'ela, by one of these, the word me'ela, the mem, is a meal. Yesh me'ela shu chayev, yesh me'ela shu potter. There are some of these where he would be chayev, and there are some of these where he would be potter. Okay, that namely, what is it? Tove momen chayev, dava acha potter. If he claimed from him money, if he wanted the edim to swear on a claim involving money, then they're chayev if they swore falsely. If not, then not. Later on, the Gemara will ask how Rabbi Akiva knows that it means davka momen and not anything else. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's if you want to be swear them on something else and not on momen. We'll deal with it. We'll see how Rabbi Akiva gets his opinion later. Meanwhile, we'll first go through the braisa, then we'll analyze it. Okay. Third opinion, Rabbi Yosi Agluli Omer. Rabbi Yosi Agluli says, I'll learn it as follows. Harehu Omer vuhu eid oira'a ayada. The pasuk says that he was a witness and he saw or he knew. Meaning it can be one or the other. The edus hamaskayemus v'ri'iyah b'lo yediyah or v'yediyah b'lo ri'iyah. Therefore, we have to be talking about some kind of edus where it's effective if he only saw something without knowing what was actually going on, or where he knew about it without actually having seen it. Akos v'dadur is what the pasuk is talking about. We're going to spell out in the next couple of lines what are the two scenarios. That can only apply, that can only apply in mammon. Re'iyah b'lo yediyah case. And what's this case where Adam can see something without knowing what's going on? You have an example. Suppose someone says, "Mona monisa l'chol b'fnei ploini u'ploini." I counted out for you a hundred zuz in front of ploini and ploini. Now they saw that I I'm counting out that money for you. However, they don't know. So I didn't inform them, so they were raw without yada. They don't know what the purpose of that was. Was I giving you a gift? Was I lending you money? Was I paying you back or something? And so now, yavoyu ploini v'yedu. So let ploini and ploini come and testify. So the other person, and the other person answers, fine, let ploini and ploini testify. So in other words, Reuven claims to Shimon, I gave you a hundred zuz in the presence of ploini and ploini. So Shimon responds, okay, you know what? It's true. It might, based on what you're saying, you have no reason to say necessarily that I should have to pay you back. It could have just as well been a matana, for example. Or on the contrary, it could have been paying you back. On the other hand, I'll tell you what. If ploini and ploini are willing to come and be made, then fine, I'm willing to pay you. I'm willing to accept it on myself that I'll pay you. So that can be a scenario where you have re'iyah without yediyah. Different other rishonim.
You can't say that?
It's possible a person can voluntarily take a responsibility on himself like that to pay, even if he's not obligated to. However, different other rishonim have a problem with that explanation because that would be a somewhat unusual case. And therefore, they talk about a case where...
he owes the money.
Again, not necessarily in the scenario that Rashi is saying over here, not necessarily does he actually owe him any money. All the Adam saw is they saw Reuven handing money to Shimon. Yeah, they don't know whether Reuven was actually lending it to Shimon. Was he giving him a gift? Was he repaying him for Shimon having previously lent him money? So
So according to Rashi, you have to say that Shimon is voluntarily agreeing that, fine, if the Edom come and testify, I'm willing to pay it. So different other Rishonim talk about that. No, we're talking about a scenario where it's clear that there was a loan going on over here. They just don't know the specifics of the loan. But therefore, and therefore, when we're saying over here, Yavoi or Pliny, this is not one or the other of them saying, let Pliny and Pliny come and testify. This is the Gemara. This is the Braisa editorializing in that case. If the Edom come and testify, then I'll have to pay.
So Shimon, he doesn't remember what he needs the Edom for.
He didn't know.
Reuben needs the Edom because he wants to be paid back.
Right. So, but Shimon is like,
Shimon himself is claiming that it's something else or whatever.
So the Edom come
and testify that they saw that they saw this transaction taking place, and unless Shimon counterclaims that it was something else, then they have to pay.
Shimon would say it's a
machana. He could have, but yeah, okay. Anyway, that's the point. The point is you can have re'iyah without yediyah. The Edom see the transaction taking place, but they don't know exactly what went on over here. Okay. Zui re'iyah below yediyah. So there you have an example of seeing without knowing. Yediyah below re'iyah case. That what is the example where Edom can know without having seen it? Mona hodesali b'fnei Pliny or Pliny. You can have a case where Reuben says to Shimon, we didn't have Edom when I lent you the money. However, you, Shimon, admitted to me in the presence of Pliny and Pliny that you owe me that money. And if there are Edom to that effect, that is a valid thing. We've learned about that before. Edisa, we learned about in Bava Basra, I think. It is a valid thing. If Shimon at some point says in the presence of Edom to Reuben, I owe you X amount, then yeah, that's considered valid and he actually owes it. Therefore, you vote Pliny or Pliny via Edu, and if Pliny and Pliny come and testify, then there will be a valid testimony. Zui yediyah b'lo yediyah. There you have knowing without having seen the original transaction. So that can only work by dinim momenus. That can't, as the Gemara is going to talk about later, that can't work by dinim nefashis. By dinim nefashis, yeah. It's not so simple, actually. We're going to see later. We're going to
say it works.
Relax.
Relax.
We're going to see. We're going to discuss it.
They have to know both together.
That's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying. However, he's not spelling out how he knows that. Later on, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Relax. We'll get to it. That's the shame. Either today or tomorrow. Okay. Fine. So that's opinion number three. Okay. So again, so you have Rabbi Eliezer learning it from the Gzeira Shavah between the Oys, and then by elimination, it has to be from Shvuos HaPikadon. Rabbi Akiva learning it from La'achas Me'ela, that only applies to some of these cases, namely Mammon. Rabbi Yossi Aglili saying that it has to be either oira or yoda. It has to be able to be that there can be either seeing or knowing, not necessarily both, and that can only be by mammon. And then we have the fourth way, Rabbi Shimon Omer, chiyav kan v'chiyav v'kot. Look, we know that a person is chayav a korban when it comes to here to Shavuos Eid. We know a person is chayav a korban when it comes to Shavuos HaPikot. So we'll make a mamotzinu between them. Malahal, never mind a gzeir shava, but a mamotzinu, a binyanah. Malahal and Enim Adabe Elabatrias Mammon, just like that Pikadon is only talking about a case of claims of money, because again, those are the cases where the Pikadon or a loan or what have you.
Money.
Yeah. Hello. Afkan, Enim Adabe Elabatrias Mammon. The same thing here by Shavuos Eidos, it also has to be talking about a claim of money.
What's the Mamatsinu between?
The Mamatsinu is just like in the case of Shavuos Pikadon, a person swore falsely and he ends up bringing a carbon as a result of it. He ends up bringing a carbon Asham as a result of it when it turns out that he had lied. So also by Shavuos Eidos, where he's also bringing a korban for having lied on a Shavua, it must also be talking about mammon. But oid kavachomer, and furthermore, Rav Shimon by Shavuos HaPikadon, we see it. Therefore, we can generalize from it to Shavuos Eidos, because both of them, the Torah says that he has to bring a korban. By Shavuos HaPikadon, the Torah says he has to bring a korban Asham. By Shavuos Eidos, the Torah says he has to bring a korban.
So
therefore, we can learn one. So you can generalize from one to the other. Yeah. But oid kavachomer. Furthermore, says Rav Shimon, you can make a kavachomer. Ma pikadon. Consider, look at the case of a pikadon. Sha'asav noshim ka noshim, where there women are on an equal level than men. Now, unlike, in other words, Shavuos Eidos, where we learned in the first Mishnah of our parent that women can't testify. Therefore, if you were to come to a woman and say to her, "I want to make you swear that you know this Eidos," and then she swears falsely, for pikadon, yeah, because a woman can be a shomer just as much as a man can. So women are just like on an equal level of men as far as Shavuos HaPikadon. If they swear falsely, she's going to be high of the carbon. Krovim k'rachokim, relatives are just like non-relatives, because again, a relative can be a shomer. Psulim k'ksherim, someone who's posel la'edus is on the same level as somebody who's kosher la'edus. V'chiyev al kol achas v'achas, and we're mechayev you individually for each false Shavuah. V'fnei beisdin v'shaloi v'fnei beisdin. And it also applies the Shavuos HaPikadon whether you swore falsely in beisdin or not in beisdin. And yet, Einem Adabra Elabatvias Mamon, yet even with all those chumras on it, that we see how broadly it applies and in how many different cases it applies, still there's a limitation that Shavuos HaPikadon only applies to cases of claims of money. Pikadon or Tsumas Yad, etc. Well, let's make a Kavach Haimer. When it comes to Shavuos HaEdus, Shaloya Sabon Nashim Kan Nashim, where it's much more restricted, it doesn't apply to women like it applies to men. It doesn't apply to relatives like it does to non-relatives. Psulim kikshedim doesn't apply to psulei edus like it does to people who are kosher edus. Ve'ena chayev al achas, and you only chayev if you beswore them in bifnei beis din, and if you beswore them in beis din, then as we learned a couple of mishnayos ago, they're only going to be chayev one carbon. Ena din shalo yehem adabi alav atvias mamon. How much more so shouldn't it be that it only applies to a claim of mamon? So there we have a kavachaymer. On the other hand, continues Rav Shimon, I can slog up that Kavach Haimer, Mala Pikadu and Shekein Lai Osaba Mushva Kenishva, because consider the case, on the other hand, on the contrary though, with Pikadu, we find it is more limited in its scope, because you don't, Shaloi Osaba Mushva Kenishva, you do not have that if you were besworn by the other person and you answered Amen, is not necessarily the same thing as if you volunteered the Shavur yourself. We learned a couple of blocks ago that it is, but it doesn't explicitly say it in the Pasuk. We learned it over there, and the Gemara is going to deal with later on how exactly we know that, and does everybody agree to that? Umezid keshogeg, and also by pikadon, we don't say it applies if you swore falsely bemezid. It doesn't apply like it does to shogeg.
If by pikadon,
if the person swears falsely that bemezid, meaning that he knew full well that the shvur is osur,
right.
he's not necessarily chayav. Again, we're going to discuss at the beginning we're going to see in the next parakah that he is actually. But again, the pasuk doesn't explicitly spell that out, and not necessarily does Rav Shimon have to agree to that. It's a limud. Again, Rav Shimon doesn't have to agree with that limud. How can you compare that to Eidus? Shekein also a mushba kenishba umezid b'shogeg. How can you compare that to Eidus, where it is the same whether you yourself made the shavua or you were sworn by the other person, and it is the same whether it was b'mezid or b'shogeg? Then you have to bring the korban either way. So you slog up the kavach haimer. You see that the shavua to Eidus is more limited in its scope, so you can't use that kavach haimer. Fine. The bottom line is we have a gzeira shava. Talmud lema techta techta gzeira shava. Fine, but it says the word techta in both cases. My shvur to edus v'nefesh ki sechta. Rav Shimon himself is going through. He goes through his kavach haimer, and that shows right. So instead of the kavach haimer, instead we will use a gzeira shava. By shvur to edus it says nefesh ki sechta. By shvur to pikadon it also says nefesh ki sechta. The same expression l'gzeira shava. Therefore, Nemakan Techta, Nemalahalan Techta, by both of them it says the word Techta. Therefore, Malahalan, Enim Adabra Elabatvias Mamon. Therefore, now with the Gzeira Shava, just like by the Pikadon and by Shavuos HaPikadon, it only applies to a claim of money. Afkan, Enim Adabra Elabatvias Mamon. The same thing. By Eidos, it has to apply only to a claim of money. Okay.
Does it say close to each other?
Well, there are a couple of dozen to took them apart. But yeah, that's not the point. Gzeira Shava can be from widely separated places. But yes, here they're both in Parshas Vayikra. Fine. So these are the four ways that we have of learning that Shavuos HaEdus only applies if it was a claim involving money. Fine. Now that we have the Braisa, let's start. Now that we have the four different limudim, now let's start analyzing them. So number one, So Rav Ba'ula asks, this that you're saying, you Rav Eliezer are saying that you want to learn from a Gzeira Shava from the fact that here by Shavuos HaEdus it says a couple of times oi, and by Shavuos HaPikadon it also says a couple of times oi, and you want to learn one from the other, oi bitui yechichu. Why can't you learn it from the couple of times that it says oi in the case of Shavuos bitui, a couple of sukkim later in that same section involving Shavuos and Korban Olav Yered? Shehen oyin, you have twice over there oy. Oy nefesh kisivatech kisishav levat v'sasayim lahora oy lahetiv. So again, you have twice oy. Shehen oyin, so you have the oy. V'yeshima and shvur, there is a shvur involved. V'enima and kohen, there's no kohen involved. Umidabrim shalei b'tvias mamon. And they're not talking about a claim involving money. A shvur spitri that we talked about in the previous parak has nothing to do with claims of money. It has to do with
pure swearing.
That it's just pure swearing. I ate, I didn't eat, I will eat, I won't eat, etc. Yeah, yeah. So therefore, maybe learn from that and say that it's not necessarily limited only to
one.
Two. That's right. Two. But there's also two by Shavuos HaEdus. So, yeah. The answer is Mistabra Mikodin, Havalela Mela. True, but it's more logical to learn from Pikodin Shekein Techta Mitechta, because you have another Zera Shava. You have the Zera Shava that Rav Shimon pointed out at the end. You also have the word Techta in connection with both of them. We're using both things. Yeah, the Oiz and the Techta. Whereas by Shavuos Vitu, it's the word Techta. It doesn't say you have the Oiz, but you don't have the Techta. Okay, the problem is Avadam and Vitu have a little bit of Shekein Chatos Mitechta. Fine, but on the other hand, you have a better reason to learn from Shavuos Bitui, and say therefore that it doesn't apply only to a claim of money, because both Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Bitui, you would have to bring a chatas, a korban olaviyod, which is a form of chatas, as opposed to Shavuos Pekodin, you're bringing a whole different type of korban, you're bringing an osham. So maybe they're not similar. No. Ella, no.
Any Shavuos
Pekodin,
you bring an
osham? Any Shavuos Pekodin, or any of the ones, Sumas Yod, Gaza, whatever, any of those ones, yeah.
In Mamon?
Anyone where Reuven claims money from Shimon, and Shimon falsely denies it and swears falsely, and then later on wants to do tshuva, then he brings an osham and he has to pay keren b'chayim hashem. Okay. Ella, no. Mistabrim of pikodin have a lo lamelach. No. Rather, we should say that it's more logical to learn from pikodin rather than from shvuas bitui, shekein, because they have a number of things in common. Chet. Number one, both of them involve an avera. As opposed to Shavuos Bitui, which doesn't necessarily involve an Aveira, violating it is an Aveira, obviously. But if you make a Shavuos that I will eat, not necessarily is there going to be any Aveira involved. You end up eating, and then you're good. You're right.
What?
Ben-Tien's right. Chet is not the fact that there's an Avera. Chet is the fact that you have, again, this Zera Shava of the word Techta. So that's one thing they have in common. You're right. We're trying to weigh over here. On the one hand, we have Shavuos Eidus in the middle, which we're trying to see where it applies to. On the one hand, we want to learn it from Pekodin and therefore say it applies only to Mammon. On the other hand, we want to learn it from Bitui, which, and say that it's not only limited. Let's consider how many different ways Shavuos Eidus is similar to Shavuos Pekodin. Number one is Chet, that you have the word Techta by both of them. That's similarity number. Number two, B'mezid. Number two, both of them involve that you chayev if you did it B'mezid. Not according to the Shimon, as we discussed before, but according to the Chachamim, and this is Alafa, you are chayev by Shavuos Pekodin for the Korban if you did it B'mezid or B'shogeg.
Right, according to the Shimon.
You're not, as we'll discuss later, but as we'll discuss tomorrow, but Hashem, by Shavuos Bitu, you're not chayev for Mezid, as we learned in the previous parak. So that's number two. Number three, Tave v'Kafre. Number three, the similarity between Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Pekodin is there was a claim, there was a demand, and there was a denial. When it comes to the Pekodin, you claim, give me my Pekodin, or my lost object, or what have you, and the other guy denies that he has it. When it comes to Eidus, he's asking them, come testify for me, and they're claiming and swearing that they don't know it, as opposed to Shavuos Bitu. There's no claims, and there's no counterclaims involved. And number two, Shavuos Eidus and Shavuos Pekodin are primarily, or exclusively rather, about things that happened in the past. Shavuos Eidus. You know testimony for me of something that happened last week. Come testify for me. We swear that we don't know it. That's something about something that happened before. Shavuos Pekodin, same thing. Shavuos Bitui could be La'ovah and could be La'ava. Could be La'ava, yeah. Now, Tosfos points out that maybe that you have a Girsa that took out the word Ba'avre and said, because after all, according to Rabbi Akiva, you could have a Shavuos Bitui could be La'ava. But the point is though, other Mephoshim explain that Shavuos Bitui is, first of all, typically a Shavuos Bitui is Lahabba. It's more usual to swear that I will eat or that I won't eat, rather than I did eat or I didn't eat. And second of all, the point is by Shavuos Bitui, it can be both, whereas the other ones, Eidus and Pekodin, are exclusively Lashava. They're exclusively on the path.
Pekodin for sure,
and Eidus also. It's about that. Yeah, it can't be. We discussed before. It can't be, for example, that you beswear them. I'm making you swear that if you ever know Eidus for me, that you'll come and testify. That doesn't work. It's only on the path that you know Eidus for me already, and then yeah. So they have four things in common. Therefore, it's more logical to learn it that way. Okay. The problem is Shavuos Bitui have a little mail. On the contrary, though, shouldn't we argue that we learn it from Shavuos Bitui? Because they also have things in common. Shekin chatos, because number one, in both of them, you bring a chatos, as opposed to, again, by pekodin, you bring an asham. Sheyorda. Number two, by both of them, the chatos is not a fixed value chatos. It goes up and down in value. It's oil of a yorda, depending on your means. And number three, lachoymish. And number three, in neither of those cases, shvuas vitri or shvuas edus, is there payment of a choymish involved. You don't pay the extra 25%. As opposed to by shvuas pekodin, not only you have to bring a korban, but you also have to pay back the amount that you denied or stole or what have you, plus 25%. So you have three things that they have in common. Okay, the answer is Hanach Lefishon. Okay, but four is more than three, so you have more things that a Shavuos Eidos has in common with Shavuos Pekodin than it does with Shavuos Vitri. Therefore, four beats three. Yeah.
We don't have four and three and divide by two.
No.
And then
it's Adam. Because it's the same way. It's Adam. And then it's Hanach
Lefishon. No, Adam is a bit out of the way.
Yeah, okay, because we could have thought to learn from Vitri, but yeah.
No, so that's with Adam.
Okay.
Today,
but maybe you could also argue that maybe the Chassos and Sheyorda and Lachemish, maybe those are the stronger things that they have in common. But the answer is, after all, no matter what, four weaker things beat three stronger things.
That's the other.
Fine. So that takes care of Rabbi Eliezer's limud, that we're not just learning from the Oiz, we're also learning from the fact that you have more things, that you have four things in common between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPekodin, which is more than they have in common with Shavuos Vitri. Okay. Now moving on to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had learned it like this. Rabbi Akiva had said, we learn it like this. Since the Pasuk says he becomes guilty by one of these, and Yesham, he becomes guilty. No, Yesham doesn't mean that he brings a korban asham.
Yesham,
then he becomes guilty. La'achat me'ela, by one of these, meaning of these is a mirut, yesh me'ela shul chayev, yesh me'ela shul potter. Only some of these cases is going to be chayev, some of them is going to be potter. Okay, so how does that work out? Tovei momen chayev, if he asks the edim to testify for him in a case involving a monetary claim, chayev, then the edim will be chayev if they swear falsely. Tovei java acha potter, but if he asks them to testify on something else, they'd be potter. So the question is, where is Rabbi Akiva getting that from? April Chanel. We could flip it around. We could say, where does Rabbi Akiva get that Me'ela? Fine, he has a mute from the word Me'ela. How does he know that it comes to exclude everything other than Mammon? Maybe the other way around. Maybe you come and ask them to testify that I'm a Kohen, or that Pliny killed Pliny, or what have you. Then they're Chayiv if they swore falsely. But if you ask them to testify on something of Mammon, then they're Potter. That would be what we'd exclude from Me'ela. The answer is, Rabbi Akiva oriented Rabbi Eliezer's sonnet. Rabbi Akiva's opinion in the Braisa is not independent. It relies on Rabbi Eliezer's Gzeira Shavah from the Oy. Once we have that, then he says, so fine, I don't maybe accept the idea that we said before that, I don't necessarily accept the idea that we said before that four beats three, that Hanach Nefishon, but nevertheless, at least we have, putting that together with the Miut Me'ela, teaches us that there has to be that there's a mirut one that it applies that applies to Mammon rather than to anything else. Okay. The question is, my Beinayu ben Rabbi Eliezer or ben Rabbi Akiva? Fine. What's the practical difference between Rabbi Eliezer's and Rabbi Akiva's opinion?
One accepts and another one doesn't.
No, but the bottom line is they both say that it only applies to Tviyas Mammon. So what's the practical difference? The answer is Ikabinayu Mashbiya Ede Karka. The difference between them would be, what about if you be swearing the Edim regarding Karka? According to Rabbi Eliezer, they would be Chayev because Rabbi Eliezer holds late in the next parak, when we start talking about Shavuos HaPekodin, Rabbi Eliezer holds that if somebody had stolen Karka from somebody else, and you make him swear that he didn't, and he falsely swears that he did, he's going to be Chayev the Korban when eventually he does Tshuva. The Gemara assumes that the same thing would apply by Shavuos HaPekodin and by Shavuos HaEdos. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you'd be chayev. The Edim would be chayev. You wanted them to swear that this karka, you wanted them to testify, rather, that this karka belongs to me, and they refused to. According to Rabbi Eliezer, apparently they would be chayev. Lo Rabbi Akiva Pturin, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, they'd be potter, because Rabbi Akiva is just learning that there's a difference between Mammon and not Mammon, and he has no reason, Rabbi Akiva has no reason to say it would apply to karka,
which he considers not Mammon.
Right. Okay. What about a little Yechanan? What about according to Rabbi Yechanan, the Amar Hasam, where Rabbi Yechanan says in that sugya, in the next parak, he learns differently. He learns the machlokes differently. Mashbia ede karka after the little Eliezer Peturin. He says that if it's edim involving karka, even Rabbi Eliezer will agree that when it comes to shvorsa edus and shvorsa pekadin, Rabbi Eliezer will agree your potter from the karka.
According to previous opinion,
right. So we have within that Gemara over there. You have two different opinions. Rabbi Eliezer says over there that a person. Rabbi Eliezer says over there a person stole karka. We can say, right. You have two different opinions over there in the Gemara. We'll learn in the next parak. Right. One that he does and one that he doesn't. Right.
Who was saying he does it in?
So that Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said when it comes to Shvuot HaEdus and Shvuot HaPesachim, he does agree that it does not apply to Karka. It only applies to Metalfi.
And
you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer over there, or Rabbi Lazar rather, arguing on it. So
if you go like Rabbi Lazar, then you can say that's the machlokes.
Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, would hold that the edim are chayev for denying edus on a case involving karka. Rabbi Akiva would say they're potter. According to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding, you'd have to understand the machlokes here differently. Mashvia edim karka afilu Rabbi Eliezer p'turin. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you'd be swearing edim on karka, they would still be potter from the korban, because it's karka rather than the talplin. Then you would have to say hacha mai ika ben Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Akiva. Then you have to ask in all Gemara over here, what is the difference? What's the practical difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? The answer is ika benayu edik knas. The difference between them would be what about when it comes to edim on a knas, which we were discussing before. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer would say that a knas is included. Because we're going to learn again in the next parak when we discuss this whole matter that Rabbi Eliezer learns the whole concept of Shavuos HaPikadon very broadly and says that it includes knas as well. He learns it by ribui amir, so he includes knas as well.
The money that's owed is a knas.
Reuven comes to Shimon and says, "Pay me the knas that you owe me," and Shimon denies it, etc. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing applies to Shavuos HaEdus. Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't hold that way by Shavuos HaPikadon, won't hold that way by Shavuos HaEdus either. So there you have a practical difference between them. And that's why we were saying before that. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. That would be the difference. But that's why before, two Mishnayos ago, when we had the whole discussion whether the Mishnah was describing, when it mentioned Chatzi Nezek and Tashlumei Kefil and so forth, when we were discussing the question, is that implying that Edim of Knas are Chayav of Carbon? And we worked hard to make the Mishnah say that it doesn't say that. That was because, since we're saying over here that Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds over here, that it's not, and the halacha is like him against Rabbi Eliezer, therefore we wanted to force the Mishnah to go according to that opinion. Okay. Fine. Now we're on to opinion number three in our Braisa. We said Rabbi Yosi Aglili, I remember, who aid a ra or yada. We said that Rabbi Yosi Aglili refers to the pasuk that it says he's an aid, or he saw, or he knew. And we said, the aidus amaskemus ver'iyah below yadiyah, or yadiyah below yadiyah, akos v'dabah. Therefore, the pasuk has to be talking about an aidus that can be accomplished by seeing without knowing, or by knowing without seeing. As opposed to dinin nefashis, where you would need both. The problem with that is, should we say in that case that Rabbi Yosi Aglili does not hold of the din of Rav Acha? The Tanya, as we learn in the Braita, Rav Acha, gomol ha'oicher ben agmalim, if you have one camel who is oicher among the other camels, Rashi says oicher means that he's, Rashi gives two explanations. One is oicher means kicks. And the other is that oicher means when the male camel is in heat. When it's in heat, as many animals are, it gets very wild and starts kicking and biting and whatever. And sometimes it can even kill the other animals around you. Rashi explains, by the way, why are we calling such a thing oicher? Why are we calling when the creature is in heat? Why are we calling it oicher? Because the Gemara tells us in Bechoras that a camel is the only creature that mates ocher keneged ocher, back to back. Most creatures mate front to back. Males front. What?
Dogs.
Dogs don't mate. Dogs mate front to back, like most creatures. Most animals are front to back. The male's front to the female's back. Camels is back to back, the Gemara says. The Gemara says there are three species that mate front to front. What is it? Humans, fish, and snakes, I think. When we get to in Bukhuris, we'll learn about it. I think so. I don't remember exactly, but yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is, I think it's humans, fish, and snakes, if I remember correctly, because the Gemara says those are the three creatures that we find, that Hashem spoke to them, so therefore, like, they're on a higher level. You find Hashem spoke to human beings, of course, all in a being. Hashem spoke to the snake in Gan Eden, and Hashem spoke to the fish to tell it to spit Yonah out. So therefore, they're on a higher level. So therefore, they're able to have relations face to face, which is a more dignified way of doing it. Anyway, the point is that camels do it ocho kineged ocho, back to back. Therefore, they're mating, and their heat can be called oicher. So Rav Acha says, if you have a camel,
I don't know why they want to mate.
Yeah, the Gemara didn't say there. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so what you have a camel who is oicher, who is in heat or kicking around or whatever among the other camels. V'nimta gamol horig b'tzidoy. Later on, you come there. Nobody was there at the time, but later on, you come and you find one dead camel there. V'yadua shazer horger. So Rav Acha says it's obvious that this wild camel is the one who killed it, and therefore you'll make the owner of that wild camel responsible for the damages. Yeah. So then the question is, what Rav Acha is saying, you don't necessarily have to see something in order to pass in a case like that. You can go based on the likelihood.
So you disagree with
one second. Now that's the question. Because if we're going to say that Rabbi Yosi Aglili agrees with Rabbi Acha that you can use what's called umdana, that you can use a strong presumption of evidence, then dinin afoshes nami mashkachas law. Then couldn't you have such a case involving dinin afoshes as well, where you wouldn't necessarily have to see it, but you would have a very strong presumption? Kir of Shimon ben Shotach, namely like the case of Rav Shimon ben Shotach, the Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, we learned this in Sanhedrin, Omer of Shimon ben Shotach, Ere ben Nechama, may I see the Nechama, either it means like to the contrary, may I not see the consolation of Yerushalayim, if it's like a euphemism, or it means, we learned this in Makkos as well, another explanation of Rashi said over there of Ere ben Nechama, means he says, if what I'm going to say is not true, may I end up having to receive Nechama that my children should pass away. Whatever it is, it's a Lashon of a Shmur. Im loyra isi, if I did not see, in other words, I swear that it is true that I saw Ephab Shadrotha Khaver Lakova, one person running after somebody else into a ruined building, Viraktiakar, if I ran after him, and I found the sword in his hand, Vidam Metaptif, there was blood dripping from the sword, Vahorog Mafarber, and the murder victim was lying there on the ground writhing.
It's a famous case.
We lived in the Sanhedrin, yeah. Amauti lo Rosha, so I said to him, Shimon ben Shotach says, I said, Rosha, mi hargal azeh, after all, who killed this guy? Oya ni ayata, it has to be either me or you, there's nobody else here. So by rights, you should be chayav misa. Avo ma esa, but what am I supposed to do? She'en dom chamasa biyadi, your blood is not in my hand, I can't bring you to Beis Din and have you executed. Shari om retard api, shnaim edim, a shlosha edim yumas hames, because the Torah says you need two or three edim. And Tosfos points out, by the way, that Rav Shimon, among other things, a few different Mepharshim talk about this, but Tosfos says Rav Shimon may have held, according to the opinion that we've learned before, that Rav Yosi says, that Rav Yosi Ben Yehuda says that a chaver does not need hasra, because he already knows perfectly well that it's wrong. This guy may have been a chaver, and therefore Shimon ben Shotach holds, you don't need hasra. Other Mepharshim talk about maybe he gave hasra while he was running. Okay, whatever, anyway. The point is, you need edim. Rather, Shimon ben Shotach says, Hashem will pay you back what you deserve. Amru, and they said, they didn't move from there until a snake bit this guy, the murderer, and he died. The point is that you have an example over there. There was no seeing. And in principle, in other words, the idea seems to be that had there been somebody else there with Shimon ben Shotach, they could have had him executed. Shimon ben Shotach is just pointing out, I'm only one person. I'm not enough to be an aide. So you have an example of Yediyah, yeah, without Re'iyah. So if we don't hold the Rav Acha's opinion, then fine. We say that it's not good enough. When it comes to camels, you can't say necessarily this camel is the one who did it. When it comes to people, you can't say this person necessarily is the one who did it. But if we hold like Rav Acha, the Gemara is assuming that Rav Yosi Aglili would also accept that by dinin afoshes. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, it's not so simple that if he holds like an apple when it comes to the camel, he should hold that by dinin afoshes as well. Which Tosfos points out is not so simple, but at least there is reason to argue that you could argue that way. There are
are other Gemaras that imply that you never use umdino when it comes to din in a fashas, but that could be that could be that could be argued, right? Our Gemara itself is going back and forth on it. Anyway, the point is that we shouldn't assume that Rabbi Yossi Aglui, who wants to go according to the halacha, wouldn't hold of Rabbi Acha's opinion, which is true by dinim mominus. We do accept it by halacha. Therefore, why
we don't know in dinim fashas.
Fine, but should we assume that Rabbi Yossi Aglui wouldn't hold of it when it comes to dinim fashas? The answer is no. I feel a tame isle to Rabbi Acha. You don't have to say that Rabbi Yossi Aglui is necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Acha. He may accept Rabbi Acha's principle. I feel a tame isle to Rabbi Acha. Maybe he does hold of Rabbi Acha's opinion when it comes to Nezikin, and therefore also when it comes to dinim mominus. However, we can still say the Shlemi Yediyah of Loi Re'iyah Mashkasa. Fine, so you found an example where you have Yediyah, you know for a fact that this guy killed him, even though you didn't actually see him actually stab him. Fine, now you can have El Re'iyah below Yediyah Hecha Mashkasa. But even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglui, you can still argue, you still wouldn't have, when it comes to Dinin Nefashos, you wouldn't have a case where you see something and don't know. Because you still have to know the fact, you still at least have to know whether the person he killed was a Jew, was a goy or a Jew. You have to know whether the person he killed was a trefa, in which case he wouldn't be chayv misa, or whether he was a healthy person, in which case he would. So if he was a trefa, you would not. Now, Tosfos points out some other remarks. Okay, Tosfos points, we learned actually in Marcus during the time that I was away, we learned Rabbi Bornstein learned with you that you have the case over there where who was it, Rabbi Akiva, I think it was, said over there that if I were on the base, then nobody would ever get executed, because when it came to a murder case, you could say, how do you know that you didn't stab him right in the place where he already had a hole in his lung or whatever?
Lamaisa,
we don't say that. Lamaisa, you don't know. And in fact, Tosfos says, based on a Gemara in Kulin, usually we say we go according to the Roy. Most people are healthy, therefore we don't say that. However, Tosfos says, let's say we're talking about over here, you had here in the area, you had one trefa and one non-trefa. He killed one of them. You have to know which one did he kill. Here you have an actual, you know there's a person who's trefa, but there's a 50-50 chance which one he killed. Necessarily, if you, Adam, are going to be seeing the murder, you actually have to know, you have to have your Dia as well to know which one he killed. If you don't know, then you can't execute the guy because there's an equally strong presumption that he killed the trefa.
When you say a trefa, meaning?
A trefa meaning somebody who has any kind of medical condition or injury or whatever that would kill him within the next 12 months, similar to an animal. Shmamina belongs to the next thing. So that's it. So therefore, so we don't have to say that Rabbi Yossi really disagrees with Rabbi Acha. He might agree with him as far as the camels. He might even apply that to Dinin Nefashos. However, you still have them. You're still not going to have Re'iyah without Yediyah. Every Re'iyah of Dinin Nefashos inevitably involves Yediyah as well. He was saying, we learned from the Pasuk, that you have to have a scenario where you can have Re'iyah without Yediyah or Yediyah without Re'iyah. You can have one. You can have Yediyah without Re'iyah, like Shimon HaShabbat's story. You can't have Re'iyah without Yediyah. Therefore, it wouldn't follow. The only case where you can have one or the other, you can have one without the other, and the other without the one, is Dinin Nefashos. Therefore, to be effective,
you can't have Yediyah without Re'iyah.
Because when it comes to Dinin Nefashos, anytime you have Re'iyah, you always have Yediyah as well. You have to know who you killed. As opposed to with Dinin Mominus, you can have Re'iyah without Yediyah. Again, you saw money changing hands, but you're not clear what the transaction was. You heard Shimon saying, I agree that I'm murder that I owe Reuven 100, without having seen the original transaction. But Dinin Nefashos, you don't have either scenario. You can have one, but you can't have the other necessarily.
Okay.
So that's it. Continue to talk.